We are one day away from the first round of the NFL draft. Seth, are the Cardinals and Raiders playing a dangerous game with their starting quarterbacks?
I think that the Cardinals certainly are if they're not actually going to draft Kyler Murray. The way that they've just kind of hemmed and hawed and acted like, oh, maybe we're kind of, they've gone very Southern Belle with Kyler Murray. They're like, well, I just, we've got Josh Rosen and he's just fine. Did we go to the cotillion with Kyler Murray? Of course we did. But that's what a gentleman does. You accept the invitations. That doesn't cut it when you're trying to get your young quarterback confident and get the leadership and respect of his teammates. I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray. If they don't, honestly, you have to fire everybody. You have to fire Steve Kine. You have to have a stern talking to, and not Kingsbury. You can't fire Kingsbury yet.
You can't fire him yet.
If they don't draft Kyler Murray, honestly, this will be one of the most horribly mismanaged, bungled, like non-EQ understanding human nature things ever. They're like almost destroying their young quarterback's confidence. And I usually don't give a damn about talking about stuff like that. Like, okay, I think if you're a starting quarterback, you're confident no matter what. But this would be kind of weird. So I think they're going to do it. The Raiders.
I agree with you. Let me stick with Arizona real quick here before we go to the Raiders. I agree with you. At this point, April 24th, if they don't draft Kyler Murray, what they've done with Rosen is ridiculous. Can I play devil's advocate and say Arizona needs so much that, let's say they had talked to Josh Rosen and were transparent with him and were like, listen, we're going to float out some rumors in February and maybe early March to try to get a trade, but no, we're committed to you. Would you live with that, with what they've done?
If I were Josh Rosen?
If you were Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of fun. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I don't think most people, and this is an insult to the Cardinals or football people in general, I don't think like any organization's smart enough to pull that off without it blowing up in their face somehow.
I mean, ultimately, I think you're right.
That looks good on Game of Thrones, but like pulling it off in reality, there's just too many people that get word of things and just it gets money. And this is the other part of that. Your teammates don't know that. Like your teammates don't, because you're not going to sit up in front of the team. You're like, hey, everybody, we're playing a big game of charades, and we're all going to pretend that we might be trading Josh Rosen because that story gets out, and then you really look like a bumbling fool. So Josh Rosen's teammates, all his teammates know is that this dude's getting cucked by management. That this guy really doesn't have the respect or the buy-in from management, and that they might. And then you know what else happens? This is what happens in the locker room. There's debates going on in the Cardinals locker room right now. I know this because I've been in like parts where there's quarterback conversation.
What are they saying?
Guys are sitting around talking about like, I don't know, who do you want? You want Josh Rosen or do you want Kyler Murray? And then there's a certain group of guys that really get excited about Kyler Murray. And then if you don't draft Kyler Murray, like, huh. All right. Yeah, I like you, Josh. All right. Yeah, that's good. You're my second choice, but okay, cool.
Did you ever find yourself picking a side when you were playing?
I picked a side. I never really had a huge debate at all because I had Brunell and I had David Carr. Like, Carr was the number one overall pick and he was going to be got. Like, they hired Kubiak. It seemed like partially because he was going to be the guy that convinced David Carr
I'll say, though, as someone who's gone into the Texans locker room when Brock Osweiler was the quarterback and seeing Vince Wilfork and the defenders sitting in the corner glowering as if they were a bunch of mobsters thinking of ways to make an accident happen to Brock Osweiler, that's what at least I imagined.
I feel like,
Did you ever have that with David Carr?
I think, for one, you've told that story before, and like I always mean to say this. Like, the best odds are that they were mad at somebody that wasn't paying their gambling debts. Like they're not going to sit. You've got this, like, Julius Caesar moment in your mind where like they all had oyster shells or something.
Don't ruin my fiction. I tell it so well.
No, but I remember because Jay Foreman, who was here with the Texans, was also up in Buffalo when it was the Rob Johnson versus Doug Flutie debate, and he said that was like a divided locker room. There were like heated arguments about over who should be the guy.
Flutie flakes.
And as far as just even like I try to put myself in the position of a quarterback when this happens because I was drafted. I was on a team where, with the Jaguars, they drafted Marcus Stroud in the first round. He was a defensive tackle. I was a defensive tackle. And
it was like, okay, crap.
I'm going to be competing with this guy, obviously. And he's going to start at some point because that's what happens. So it's, as a position player, it's not that big a deal because it's a blow to your ego and you accept the challenge. It was really good for me because I ended up for the next 6 years of my career, I think being way better than I would have otherwise. Because like I responded to the challenge, I ended up starting that whole year over Marcus. And the next year, Gary and I were figuring that like one of us would get shipped off somewhere because they drafted Marcus Stroud. We both ended up, Jacksonville was in a bunch of salary cap trouble, so we both came here. But it's not a big deal for a position player. for a quarterback, like, you're supposed to be standing up in front of everybody and being the leader. And when you've got the organization clearly showing they're having second thoughts about you, it's really hard to get that buy-in.
Well, I've also been, when
there's questions about David Carr as a quarterback, yeah. Like, that happens too. Like, and that's based on his performance on the field, even while the organization has its backing. But there are times where we would sit around as a defense and be like, what are we going to do with this? Like, what the, you know, and that wasn't David Carr as much as the offense in general, because they had so many young guys.
Yeah.
You know, but it gets real dicey. It gets very unpleasant sometimes.
A coup. Right,
so, yeah.
What about the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr? Because it feels like a situation in which the Raiders don't love Derek Carr. Yep. And I think that John Gruden loves Kyler Murray. The problem is he's not going to be able to get him. But you're reading these quotes and hearing Mike Mayock say things like, well, Derek's our franchise quarterback, but we have to do our due diligence. That means he's not your franchise quarterback. Could you imagine if Bill O'Brien and Brian Gaines said that about Deshaun Watson? It would be the only thing that we talked about if they said something
along
those lines. Especially,
it would be one thing if your quarterback was nearing free agency or something, I guess. And you do have to, like, within the next couple of years, you got to make another decision on Derek Carr. But, the only answer you can give is that, like, look, we do this with all quarterbacks because this is what, you know, they're one of the most valuable commodities and that's what we do. But it's clear that it's more than that. It's clear that it's more than that. This is what the Raiders did. Very, very smart. The Raiders have won Mike Glennon on their team. Mike Glennon was brought in to help tutor Derek Carr on how to handle having your replacement drafted in front of you. Because you remember Mike Glennon was at a draft party when the Bears drafted his replacement, and he got kind of huffy about it. Does Derek Carr get huffy about it if the Raiders draft Dwayne Haskins?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets super huffy about
yes.
it. Super huffy.
Absolutely.
Put on extra eyeliner. And
he starts listening to goth music, comes in wearing Bad Religion clothes.
I watched like 15 minutes of Derek Carr speaking at a church. Holy crap. He was really good.
Was he?
I was really like, I was clicking through some stuff and I was expected just to see whatever, like, typical athlete talking. I was like, this guy could be a preacher. It was pretty impressive. You should do it. Even if you're not religiously inclined, check it out and just be impressed by Derek Carr speaking at this church. I saw a different side of Derek Carr. It made me wonder, like, what he's like in the locker room and everything.
I went to a church on Sunday, and I haven't given the story of what the sermon was like.
Ooh, yeah, how'd it go, Mike?
It was good. The most dramatic part about the story is, or just my experience, was the guy who was doing the, I don't know what words I'm supposed to use, like sermon, preacher, whatever, but the guy who was doing the sermon Sunday, he reenacted, again, I don't know a lot about religion or Jesus or anything. I'm a total crap.
Exactly. That makes it that much better when you're describing it. Describe it. You're going to sound like an alien describing it.
So apparently this Jesus guy was like Jon Snow.
Exactly.
Crazy. It was the original plot twist.
Yeah. So
everybody like went home thinking like, what are we going to do with it? What am I going to watch on HBO next? This show's over.
So the guy doing the sermon is up there, and he had people reenact Jesus. He had somebody, you know, rip off part of his shirt. And then the most dramatic part was he had somebody
like doing the crucifixion.
Hang on. And
why did he rip off his shirt though?
Then he had that, and then what people did to Jesus before, before he was killed. And then he had somebody walk up and spit on his face.
Whoa,
oh, really?
Yeah,
that's intense.
And then he just kept talking, and he didn't wipe his face off for like 4 minutes.
Oh, it was actual spit?
Yeah.
What?
Was it a loogie or was it like a spray?
Now, who was
what a spray?
The minister was giving this? Like, the minister was reenacting? Like, he was playing the part of Jesus?
This is a place
who
where...
Who got the spit on the face?
The person who was giving the sermon.
Okay, so he was like... So somebody came up and spit on his face as he was delivering the sermon and he just kept going.
Yes.
That's intense.
I know, it was
what
pretty intense.
What denomination is this?
It's non-denominational.
Is this like the community theater version of church or something? This is like
It was pretty intense.
This sounds closer to
this church.
It was pretty intense.
This sounds closer to like a Mel Gibson movie than it sounds like church.
Then he dislocated his own shoulder to get out of a straitjacket. And then they rolled out a dunk tank and they had him put handcuffs on and he was submerged for 3 minutes before he emerged.
Now we're talking about Houdini.
Yeah, exactly. You mixed all of it. All the performing arts, including magic.
I gotta say, I'm gonna give
this church some pub. What is it?
It's called Sandbox.
Sandbox, okay.
Yeah. You
act like you went to some secret cult or something.
No.
The churches love the advertising. They need it.
I'm sure they do.
I met one of our listeners the other day down at a Five Guys, and for the life of me, I can't. What's the Greek word? Look up the Greek word for
Chronos
church.
Oh, I don't know.
Kronos.
So I can give this guy's church some publicity. This guy's in a church band.
Church.
He listens to us every day. But it was like 2 months ago. I can't remember.
Is it Ecclesia?
Yeah, Ecclesia. Sounds like it.
Isn't that a kind of church?
Ecclesiastical.
Of course.
Ecclesiastic.
Okay. I know nothing.
I'm just going to say yes in response.
Let's claim that it's Ecclesia down in the Clear Lake area.
Okay.
All right. If you guys know that guy that eats at the Five Guys there, go to that church and bring Five Guys.
I'm gonna put a ball on this segment by saying this. Josh Rosen is in a brutal spot. The Raiders do not really love Derek Carr, and I saw a dramatic speech sermon on Sunday.
The Gospel According to Mike.
The Gospel According to Mike. In the meltdown.
How did it compare to the Jon Snow resurrection?
Jon Snow
from Game of Thrones.
I feel like I saw the Jon Snow thing coming.
I feel like Game of Thrones had better budget for special effects, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it was more dramatic. In the meltdown,